The question was asked, there's a whole controversy regarding Metzitza B'Peh. Is it obligatory to do Metzitza B'Peh? So what is Metzitza B'Peh? So the Talmud tells us that after slicing off the foreskin in a circumcision, so then the rabbis say the mohel is responsible to ensure there's adequate blood flow. So the rabbis say he has to do Metzitza, which means that he, in the days of Chazal, in the days of the Talmud, he'd put his mouth directly where he did the circumcision and sucked to ensure that the blood was flowing properly to the place. The Gemara terms it, the Gemara says, Hai Moel, if you have a Moel that does not do Metzitza, that does not ensure, that does not, Metzitza literally means squeeze out or draw out blood after the circumcision, Mavrin Lei. You dispose of him. You remove that moel. So it doesn't say that it is a responsibility, it's a part of the mila. It says that if you don't do it, there will be times that a child will be endangered. And so we don't wait to see when a child will be endangered. Now, what we have to understand is that the Talmud didn't have to tell us, if you have a moel that's careless with his knife and slits a few babies' throats, you remove him, right? If it was pretty obvious that this moel is killing babies, I didn't need the Talmud to tell me that. So then the Talmud obviously came and told me about something that's a rarity, that to the layman, you wouldn't notice that there was any danger in what he's doing. And every so often a baby would die, and the layman would assume, yeah, okay, you know, in every operation, 1 in 10,000 die. So it's not his fault. What do you want? Comes the Talmud and says, no, this is his fault. Don't be misled. Don't assume, because most babies that you could circumcise and you won't do it, everything will be okay, comes the Talmud, and that's why the Talmud has to tell us that if you have a moel who does not do mitzitza, who does not draw out blood after the circumcision, remove him. Don't let him keep practicing. Obviously, the Talmud told us, I know something you don't know. So then ever since then, everyone's been wondering, what did the Talmud know that we don't know? Because we can't make heads or tails of why it would be necessary to draw blood after circumcision. And many theories have been written on the matter. At the end of the day, we're not sure. Meaning, some want to say that in their days they needed to cleanse out the wound. They didn't have a sterile environment like we do. So it was necessary to have blood flow to ensure the wound was cleaner. Others want to say that they were concerned for situations that happen 1 in 200 babies, a hypospadias, apospadias. There are different abnormalities in the formation of the male organ where a circumcision that you did not ensure adequate blood flow, the organ could die, and then you could have gangrene, etc. So there are all kinds of theories, but at the end of the day, they're all theories. We're not sure why the Talmud said it is so necessary. But nonetheless, the Talmud says, I know something you don't know. You make sure that they draw blood to the location of the circumcision. So that's where it stands in Shulchan Aruch. Now, we take this so seriously that even on Shabbos, when it is biblically prohibited to draw blood, we do Metzitza. You say, wait a second, why are you doing that? You know it's a biblical prohibition, but you don't know why you're doing it. So we say, yeah, but the Talmud told us that there is a certain danger, even though it might not seem so at first glance, so do it. Okay, so we do it. But wait, did the Talmud say you have to do it with your mouth? No, the Talmud didn't say that. The Talmud just said, draw blood. And so, back in the days of the Chasam Sofer, they asked the Chasam Sofer, they have a moel that they're concerned that he's giving certain diseases to the babies. Is it okay if he draws blood without putting his mouth on the baby? So the Chasam Sofer says, certainly. So others want to say, yeah, that's when you have no choice. You have a town with one moel and he's sick. So do it that way. But no, the Mishnah Berurah doesn't go that way. The Mishnah Berurah and the Bir Halacha quotes that there's a machlokas, and there are definitely strong halachic opinions that say that one can draw the blood in any way that you draw blood. It doesn't have to be with your mouth. There are those who want to say, well, don't change from tradition. Okay, but firstly, we have to understand, the bris is 100% kosher, even if you didn't do mitzitza. The Gemara was giving you medical advice, which today we don't know why it's necessary. Meaning, technically, you have thousands of babies circumcised daily without anyone drawing blood. So you'll say, no, they're bandaging them, so they're drawing their blood. Okay, go with that, Chasam Sofer, go with that. But if one wants to do circumcision, and and not draw blood, we tell him, no, that's not right. You're breaking with tradition. But if he wants to say, you know, I'm drawing blood, the way many mu'alim do is they take a syringe, they take out the plunge of the syringe, they put in a gauze pad inside the syringe, and then they put the syringe on the baby's male organ, and they suck out the air, and then you draw blood. Your mouth isn't coming in contact with his blood isn't coming in contact with your mouth. You get the same effect, identical effect, but without having any... Right, so you could do it with a tube, and you could do it with a pump. Rav Hirsch has a response, a tshuva that he wrote about doing it with a pump. So there are different ways to do it. At the end of the day, we have to factor in something else. Every day, all around the world, there are thousands of mu'alim, thousands of brisim being performed where they are doing mitzitza with their mouth. And the children don't drop dead, right? For a person to say it's dangerous, I'm not doing it. So we'd say, you know, there are things that seem to be much more dangerous which you do on a daily basis. It's hard to say that that's dangerous. It's hard to say. I don't think you could say that a mo'al that does mitzitza with his mouth is endangering the child. You see, daily people do it and nothing happens. At the same time, you do have an alternative. And there was a machlokas. Even in Europe, the Brisker Rav, Rav Soloveitchik, was very against doing mitzitza with one's mouth. He wouldn't agree to be a sandik at a bris where they did it with the mouth. And then you had, it was divided. Certain parts of Europe would only do it with the mouth, and other parts of Europe would never do it with the mouth. And both sides have halachic basis, and a person can tell the mo'el what he wants done. And most mohalim will comply either way. I know mohalim who won't do mitzitza with an instrument, and I know mohalim who won't do mitzitza with the mouth. But in general, if a person specifically wants to do it with the mouth, and the mohel doesn't want to do it with the mouth, so the parent could do mitzitza. You know, that's also an option. Yeah? On this point?
No.
Okay.